Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. I am Bill. Tonight's show we'll be talking about disappearing sheep and something called the Skull Experiment. We've also got another section to the interview with Colin Doyle. We'll be talking about some more paranormal events. If you'd like to give us a call about anything at all, if you want to share any unusual experiences, want to give us an update on a reading you've already had, please give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. If you'd like to visit our website, there are some links on the Blog Talk Radio page here. But please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Hello, hello. Happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah. But slightly earlier for our UK listeners today. Starting an hour earlier because of the time change. And you know what? It does change. The time does change. It'll be, you know what? I'm pretty sure, 99% sure, it's going to change for us when I'm out ghost hunting. How confusing that's going to be.
I think it's what you deserve. And it's kind of funny because it absolutely means nothing except just another hour. I think that maybe that's why it seems like it's longer.
Why does it seem like it's longer?
Well, you were saying that the ghost hunt seemed longer this time.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was two different. I mean, one said it finished at 3:30 in the morning. One said it finished at 2:30. So I don't know. I don't know whether we're going to stay till 3:30 or whether we were just going to lose an hour. And I don't know. But it's like it'll get to like 2:00 or whatever.
And then it'll be
3:00 suddenly.
It's probably I think that's probably why it seems longer is because, you know,
because otherwise it'd be like 2:00 and then all of a sudden, if it's finished at 2:30, we'll have to rush, we'll have to run out the door quickly before it turns 3:00. How much time do you get? A second? I remember I came back here after night out once and I was talking to somebody at 2:00. At 1:00 we come back here, we're having a conversation for an hour, and it came to 2:00 and the clocks went back, so it was back to 1:00. It was like I hadn't even spoken.
Exactly. It is so cold. It's crazy cold.
The snow, I mean, it just snowed and snowed like over the weekend and it snowed a little bit this morning, but the snow is just like hanging around.
I know. It's just drippity dropping. It's just drippity dropping. It's no joke. And I've got my heating blanket and nice and cozy. But cold makes me sleepy.
Right.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that my dad was had been to the dentist and he's still having problems. He's had tooth out. And anyway, he didn't really want to go back to the dentist, but, you know, he needs to get checked up. And mum said, well, he won't be able to give you anything until he's seen you, will he? And I said, until he's seen us what?
Naked.
Yeah, I guess you have to be there.
Until he's seen you naked, he can't give you anything. No? Not that?
Don't you repeat what I said?
She said that he won't be able to give you anything until he's seen you. And you said, really? Seen us what?
Okay, let me start again. My mom said.
All right.
He won't be able to give you anything until he's seen you, will he? And I said, until he's seen us what? Will he? Oh, forget it. It clicked soon, and you'd be like, oh, now I get it.
So basically, I didn't even have to say the naked part.
No, basically, no. The joke was already there, and you...
And I ruined it. I totally went over with it.
You just smeared your version all over mine.
I do that anyway.
Anyway.
So.
Yeah, going on. Sorry.
Well, one of the things that is going to be pretty interesting for today's conversation is the skull experiments.
Skull, that is, not skull. Skull.
Skull, that's S-C-O-L-E.
Oh, you better spell them than me, are you? Yeah.
some dip in it.
Skull, as in S-C-O-L-E, experiments.
What are they?
What are they? What are they? The Skull experiments. What are they?
Yeah.
It's just one experiment. Group of people. Well, we're going to talk about this. It's on YouTube. Anybody wants to check it out. I actually found it by accident because it was recommended to me by YouTube because I think I'd been watching something like Lloyd Pye, Everything You Know Is Wrong, which I mentioned, and it's worth watching if you want to watch that, about if you're interested in evolution and we descended from monkeys and stuff, Bigfoot, you know. You should have a look into that because it might change your views on some things. And it might confirm them. Anyway, it was a recommendation. And I would never have found it otherwise. I'd never heard of it before. But there was a group in a place called Skull in UK, which set themselves up. And at the beginning of 1993, four psychic researchers embarked on a series of experiments. And the subsequent events were so astounding as senior members of the prestigious Society for prestigious Society for Psychic Research asked to observe, test and record what took place. Anyway, we both watched this documentary, didn't we? Right?
Yes.
And basically, they were like, I think they did for about 2 years, they would like hold seances in a cellar, in a building. And they didn't really get a whole lot of stuff. It was just like noises and the odd thing here and there. But one day, everything turned around and all of a sudden, you got tables floating and spinning around and all kinds of strange things, orbs flashing around everywhere. But they said that on one of the occasions they had a camera set up and they were told, because they got messages that either messages came through the people or they came via, how else did they get the messages? Was it on tape recorders?
Right.
They told them to do something. They told them to leave a camera out with a film in it, and they just left it there. Anyway, they were going through the seance thing. Next thing you know, this camera is apparently floating through the air, taking random photos around the room. And they come back with some really interesting photos. Anyway, after a while, they didn't need the camera. All they needed to do was to get a new film from a camera and leave it on the side or stick it in a box or whatever. And the seance would go on, and at the end of it, they'd get them developed, and there'd be writing and faces and pictures on this film, which hadn't even been in a camera, and had signatures and poems, different languages,
mm-hmm.
all over it. And they brought in scientists and all kinds of people to try and see what was going on, and they all confirmed that, you know, they can't explain it. It's something very weird. And they moved on to actual video footage, which some of it's a bit strange, but there's strange beings and lights, and they set the video camera up in a way which they were told through these messages. So they film a mirror, which is reflecting another mirror, so it basically only films its own viewfinder, and the images are pretty crazy. Strange beings. One with some weird eyes looking around, which is a bit disturbing.
They also did the radio.
Yeah, that was
in Italy.
Part of that, or was he somebody else? And I think it was somebody else in another country, wasn't
it?
Which I think
it was in Italy, right? But it was they all kind of became intertwined, though. You should just check it out.
Yeah, if this guy was getting messages, he could speak in real time to people, and his voice would come through saying, hello, greetings to you, and then sort of like we are speaking to you from the, I don't know, I can't remember what they said, but they thought somebody might be talking from somewhere else, and they did experiments, and it turned out that they would get messages even with all the, a lot of the equipment, the runnings and the machinery of the radio was taken out. They were still getting this messages through, which would have been impossible, even in a room where radio waves wouldn't be able to get through if somebody else was doing it. They still got... Anyway, I won't ruin it too much for you, but it's really interesting to check that out. It's on YouTube. It's about an hour and a half, something like that.
It's also posted on our Facebook page.
That's right, on the Broken Earth.
Yeah, on the Broken Earth.
Get on Facebook and like it, and then it'll save you trying to search for it. It'll be right there ready for you.
Already and queued up.
Yeah.
We have some people in the queue. And so let's take a call. We're going to take a call. We're going to take a little break. Then we're going to take the caller from 917. We're also going to be listening to another interview.
It's about 20 minutes long, the next segment. So, you know, make sure you're comfy for that. We'll tell you when that's coming on.
Yeah. And is there anything you wanted to say before we,
you can proceed.
Are you sure there's not something that you want to say?
No. I mean, yes, I am sure.
Okay.
I will be talking about disappearing sheep.
Yeah.
In a bit. And I'm sure we'll have some other subjects that will come up as well, but...
Yeah, I have kind of gotten lost on this thing. So I was trying to find something, and I've just completely lost my my song.
Oh.
That's why I was saying, are you sure? Okay, here it is. We'll be right back. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. If you'd like to give us a call for a sample reading, or if you'd like to just, give us an update of readings past, give us a call at 347-215-8421, where our chat room is also open as well. So we'll be right back. we're back. Okay. Caller it 917. This is Broken Earth. You've reached Bill and Nunu. How can we help you today? What's on your mind?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Merez.
Hello.
Hi. I enjoy listening to the two of you. You guys are so funny. But, yeah, I wanted to ask a question about my relationship. I just wanted to know, because there was a bit of contention, a little dispute, and I wanted to know how, if you, what do you see as far as that coming to head, like the outcome of that.
Okay, so you guys had an argument. Okay, hold on just a moment. Hold on just a moment. Let's see what's going to happen with this. Okay. All right. All right, let's see. All right, we're just trying to, everybody's trying to do their own version of the right thing. Okay. And so at this point, what I'm seeing is that based upon what you do, so we're going to need to see what the right thing for you to do is. It says that you're able to win him over. You know, things are able to basically get back on track. But the thing is, when I say back on track, we're just talking about you guys getting back onto, just getting back on a positive course, which means a course of, you know, progression, but nothing has really, really changed except that you guys are back on track to grow. Does that make sense?
Yes, I do understand.
Okay, and so the thing that you're supposed to do, the thing that you're supposed to be doing at this point is letting him drive the car and you withdraw. And you're being told that you have stacks and stacks of issues that you need to deal with right now. And that's really where your energy should be placed. And he's going to come back regardless. So this argument, honestly, it just looks like it's one of a million arguments that you guys seem to keep having, and it hasn't really changed anything. So,
okay.
I mean, it's kind of, this is a very frustrating situation because what I'm seeing is, you know, it doesn't matter what you really say or do, he's still going to continue to do what he needs to do until he's reached a place where he's ready to flip the script. Okay, so this argument has done nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We spoke a while back, and I was wondering if you could just tell me if you see things maybe still panning out, like towards the summertime, like around May. Would you be able to tell me that, or?
Well, I'm going to tell you, as far as I can tell, at this point, yes. But I need to ask you something, okay? And remember, I'm not trying to pick on you or anything. But what is it? But why do you still continue to have the same argument in spite of the fact that it doesn't do anything?
I guess it has to do with maybe an insecurity that I have or a fear of certain things happening again. And I could have really avoided the entire thing that happened, but a part of me just, I guess it's like this control struggle kind of thing that's happening, and that is what kind of messed everything up.
Okay.
Part of it, I should say.
Okay. Now remember, and this is something that you've got to remember, When we're in a triangular relationship, we can either be happy or we can live in hell. But it doesn't make him stay if you're in hell. Okay.
Okay,
you got to remember that. You got to remember that, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So sheep better disappear. Or unless you wanted to say something else.
That's wrong. Be nervous about jumping straight in when I'm not ready.
I don't want to get
now.
Slapped.
We'll talk about that later.
I don't want my wrist slapped.
just to confirm, what time are we going to be playing the 20-minute section of the interview?
Let's do it in 30 minutes.
30 minutes, right.
Well, we can actually do it. We can do it sooner if you don't do.
I don't really know. I was just wondering.
Well, you're the boss.
Okay, let me talk about this right here. I was watching Rich Planet the other day with Richard B. Hall,
mm-hmm.
who I met last year, which is cool. He was talking about a place in Lincolnshire in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a farmer's sheep went missing. Approximately 1,500 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. They did some investigation into it, and the BBC and other places reported, you know, that some people have come in the night and loaded these 1,500 sheep onto a wagon or more. And they said it would have been likely to be a three-tiered, you know, animal wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming in the night, loaded it up and taking them off somewhere to be to what they called to an illegal abattoir.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have any leads at that time. But, you know, that's what they suspected. So, think about this. 1,500 sheep missing from a field in the dark at night time. Didn't wake the people up that lived about 80 yards away. Didn't wake their dog up. They would have needed about three of those wagons to get all the sheep on there. And Richard Hall went looking around the area, and he was speaking to these people who lived about 80 yards away. Said there was no sound, didn't hear anything. He said they were definitely there at about 6 o'clock because the woman had driven past, but they reckon, I think the farmer was aware that they were there, you know, later on than that, but by early morning they'd gone. Someone had stolen them.
Right.
So you went looking. There was only one entrance to the field, which had a gate on it, and looking around the area and on the reports, there wasn't any sign of a wagon.
Right.
In the area. There wasn't any sheep droppings anywhere.
Right.
And there was no wool caught on the hedges and around the gate where they would have all had to have been funneled through, these 1,500 sheep. No sign of that. No footprints, nothing. Also, the fact that there was a chain and a padlock around the post and around the gate, which looked like it was probably years old,
mm-hmm.
years and years old, and it had gone rusty. And it didn't look like it had been broken in any way or anything. It might have been there for a long time anyway. This Richard Hall phoned up a detective, which is actually who commented on it. And they were trying to find out who it was. And he asked him questions and said, was there any sign of any, you know, asking him questions about droppings or any sign of a wagon or any sheep's wool caught on the hedges, none of that. And also the fact that he said that the lock, the padlock and the chain was still on the gate when they come to investigate it. So they hadn't broken the chain from the lock or picked it or anything because it was still on there. There was only one entrance to the field. There was no sign of any droppings, any wagons, any wool, no witnesses, no sounds.
And no big fat wolf that was full.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, there wasn't even evidence of, like, anything extraterrestrial.
Well, around about the same time, about 12 miles away from the area, there was a man and his two kids he picked up from school who were driving down one of these lanes, and there was, like, a huge egg-shaped UFO hovering above the road.
Oh.
It looked like it coming off from the sea. And he said everything was going, all the electrics were going all crazy, and he had a weird taste in his mouth, like, so if you put your tongue on the end of a battery,
mm-hmm.
it felt like the static charge in that. And he said it was moving really slowly, and it took about, it was about three times wider than the road. And after it hovered for a bit, and his kid, one of his kids was screaming, and the other kid was like, what's that? Anyway, it shot off back towards the sea, and probably travelled, I can't remember how far he said it travelled, but it was from inland out to the sea within about a second. So it just shut off. So that was around the area at the time. But Richard Hall said he was going to have a look around the field. He could have looked around the field to see, you know, he wanted to see if there was any landing gear or anything like that, but it would have taken him a long time. He didn't have the time to do it. He also camped out near the area to see if there was any UFOs, but it ended up just raining and raining and raining. And he woke up and a dog had pooped outside the entrance of his tent and trod him in it. He trod right in there. So it makes you wonder, you know, if some extraterrestrials come down the ship and scooped them all up.
But what do you think they needed them for?
Well, I was thinking about this. I was only talking about this the other day. One of the theories is for some sort of protein.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is sometimes they bring them back. So, you know, like a load of cows, say there was a, aliens came down, scooped up a load of cows, then brought them back, but they brought them back in the wrong area, in the wrong field.
Right.
Why would they need to take them, or one? Why would they need to take one at least? Why would they need to take a whole load of them? And why would they bring them back and be stupid enough to leave them in the wrong place?
Right.
What's that all about? I don't understand. But if anybody's interested in that, animal mutilations, cattle mutilations, and look at the Silent Killers DVD, right? Richard D. Hall, because it's, I don't think he really mentions anything about UFOs in there. He's just covering the actual details of these strange mutilations, all the blood drained from them, not a spot of drop, no drops of blood on the ground, but, you know, certain areas have been removed with surgical precision.
Mm.
Even there's been human mutilations as well in rare cases. They tend to do stuff like move like the rectum and like a bit of a jaw, skin, and I don't know, it's weird. But but even if, you know, you don't think extraterrestrials were involved, how did they get those sheep out of that field?
Right.
If it was people.
It's something to think about.
It's a mystery for now, yeah.
It's a mystery. We're not going to be able to solve that mystery necessarily right now. You know what? I think I told you about this probably yesterday, but I'm talking to everybody else right now. If you've ever watched Battlestar Galactica and Caprica and enjoyed those shows, you know, when you watch those shows, you imagine those shows are taking place, you know, in the distant future, and, you know, because the technology and et cetera. And, you know, Caprica was supposed to be before Battlestar Galactica because it was the technology in Caprica and also just there was a battle of science versus religion, and the people in Caprica were kind of more in favor of scientific things as opposed to, you know, or it wasn't, I don't think it was even necessarily about science. It was about, like, I believe it was multiple gods versus one. But anyway, I was reading something, and I may be the one that's far behind, and everybody else may know this, but the people in from that series were in the past, and when they were lost in space looking for a home, they actually found Earth. So, you know, in order for this to work, it means that when they landed on Earth and began to live on Earth, they were so busy trying to figure out how to make it on the planet that they forgot all about the advanced technology that they had. And now we're reaching a point where it's being rediscovered. I just thought that, I mean, I know it's a TV series, but it's still interesting to kind of think about, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because it's actually believable in a way, you know. Just something to think about.
Well, sometimes, you know, I think that we weren't designed very well for this planet. Can't go outside, without any clothes, live in the wilderness for too long, especially around England. You'll probably die in a couple of weeks from, you know, hypothermia. People such as myself, Caucasian people, we can't go outside in the sun without putting the sun cream on. What's that all about?
Well, everybody needs to wear sunscreen. Remember that time I was so burnt that I couldn't even wear clothes hardly?
Did you get pneumonia?
No,
this is the case. So if you actually did have, you know, we can't even wear sunscreen, we get sunburn, and then we can't wear clothes, and we die in pneumonia.
I remember my underwear hurt, my bra hurt so badly, and it's a nightmare, but sunburns are the pits.
Well, I think I told you, the only other animal that needs sunscreen is pigs.
Yeah, piggies.
So, well, I understand how, you know, we're not really very well adapted to the earth in some ways. Yeah.
That's true.
We'll be able to survive out in the wilderness without our wads of money.
Let's take a caller.
Okay.
We're going to take a caller, then we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about next? Is it about time? Oh, it's about time, isn't it? We're going to take a caller and take a little break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to listen to the Colin Doyle segment, and then we'll come back and take more readings. But the caller we're going to take is at 484. Can you hear us?
Yes, hi, I can hear you.
Hi, great. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Tara. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Tara. This is Bill and Nunu. How can we help you today, or what's on your mind?
A lot is on my mind, and I don't know how much detail you want, but I just want to know if there's a breakthrough coming with this situation that I'm involved in.
Is there? Okay, hold on, let's see. Hold on just a moment. Let's see. I'm going to do something a little bit different. Bear with me just a moment, though, Tara.
Okay.
Let's see.
Do you need the initials of the other person's name or anything involved?
No, that's all right. It's okay. Right, some stagnation. Okay. Okay, so I want to make sure that we're on the same page, but right now it looks like you guys are not talking. Is that true?
We are talking.
You are?
He sent me a text message yesterday, and it really got me emotionally upset to the point where I had to leave work, and then I had to take off work today. And, I don't know what he's doing.
Okay. Well, this is exactly what is kind of going on here. It says that you guys are taking a break and that things are very stagnant. That's how come I was asking if you guys were talking right now. Now, as far as the break, are you guys actually taking that break, or do you think it's something that you probably just maybe need to do?
I don't know what he's doing. I pulled away back in February, and he keeps randomly
communicating randomly. Okay.
Randomly.
Okay.
And it will be stupid stuff like, hey, oh, text the wrong person, sorry. Three weeks from now. Someone's messaging me on Facebook, and I want to know what it's about. I have no control over who messages him. And people
right.
have told him before, quit playing head games with Tara. Quit it.
Okay, this is the deal. This is the deal. We need to keep this very simple, Tara. For the most part, what's going on here is you've got basically 1, 2, 3 more steps before there's any sort of progress. And even the progress that is made, it looks like it's still a progress of like it's actually physical presence finally, but it's still very, very basic. And what I mean by basic is that it looks like it's got some sweetness to it, but it's not matured. It's like kid, it's still like and I don't mean to say this in a way that sounds negative, but it's still like if we're going to put this on tiers of like, you know, a baby, a teenager, a grown-up, that sort of thing. We'll keep it that way. It's at a baby stage. It's you're about to come to a place where it's baby. Now, the thing that's good about that is that it looks like it's a fresh start. Okay? That's what's positive about that. But the thing is, it does look like there's some loss of trust. It also looks like there's a need to reprioritize or reorganize for yourself. And I'm saying this as a healer right now. You know, you can't let, and I know it's easy for this to happen, okay? But you really got to try to figure out a way that somebody's messages aren't going to make you take money out of your pocket. So there's going to be – and I'm not saying this as my opinion, but this is what your guides are telling me to tell you as a healer. So basically
right.
you're being told to withdraw from the over-sensitive, over-dramatized element of it. Withdraw from
okay.
that. And this is
okay.
going to be a way to retrain him into acting more, you know – like what it is that you're looking for. Okay, so with that being said, I do see growth, but I mean, the thing is, no matter what, you're going to have to go through that process of not feeding the silliness. Okay, so just don't
and
feed
I think,
it.
I think what traumatizes me at this point is he just randomly texts me and they're usually filled with nonsense or real high drama. And now I'm on edge because I'm just waiting until the next text, and who knows what it will be. It may be, you know, who knows?
But the thing is, Tara, who cares? And I'm not saying that to be a smart aleck, because I'm just, it doesn't give you food. It doesn't do anything except for,
I know, but it traumatizes,
you know,
me.
Well, the thing is, though, the thing is, it's like, and remember, this is not me telling you this as your friend. I'm telling you this as your reader right now.
Right.
Until you're capable of not, and it looks like you will naturally get burnt out on this, and you'll start doing it anyway.
Oh, I'm already at that point now.
No, you're not. When you get burnt out on this, when you see these messages, you delete them and you continue on with life. And you're not doing that. You're missing work today. So,
right, because
the
I
thing
went
is,
into this long-winded text conversation telling him, you know, that
you
I
don't,
always...
Tara, sweetheart, listen, please, please listen. I understand it. I understand what you're saying. I get it. I get it more than you know. But feeding that conversation isn't doing anything except perpetuating this. So you're asking, when will there be progress? And your answer is, when you get burnt out and don't feed it, then he's going to be forced to be realistic and be normal. Okay? And this is very, very simple. And I know it sounds easier said than done. And you can trust your own self and just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it until you are burnt out in the way that I'm saying, or you can just, you know, buck up and not feed it now so that he's forced to actually show you his physical self and act like a normal person.
Right, because I think what I want, and I've been asking God and the universe this, I want him to come, sit down face to face, and let's put this all out on the table. And I don't know if he's capable of doing that.
Well, the only way that you're going to be able to see that is to just bite the bullet and do it.
Right. I don't reach out to him. I don't contact him. Nothing.
And that's
nothing.
And that's great. I'm telling you what you're doing right there. I see that is a huge leap for you. That's a giant leap for you.
Right, but now I get these stupid, random, emotionally wrong...
Because he's trying to suck you back into being the way you used to be, because that's the way that he was able to monitor and control the situation. Now he's telling you about stuff on Facebook, really? I left sixth grade a little while ago. You know what I mean? I don't care about random comments on Facebook because, remember,
he said it involved me. He said it was a friend of mine messaged him and said me in it, and he wants to know why. But, see, I know already what she said. She told him, and I didn't tell her to do this, she told him, quit playing head games with Tara.
You know what? That's awesome that your friend has your back, but I mean, come on. A lot of times when our friends or our family members are fighting our fights for us or insinuating themselves into situations, they're making the situation worse. They're perpetuating it too. And what Tara is actually trying to do right now is she's really trying to transcend a level of reasoning. You're trying to get away from catty reasoning. And it's really, really difficult to get away from catty reasoning if everybody around you was scratching and clawing. If you and I went if we left and we went to India and we stayed there for a year and we became enlightened and amazing and, you know, and then we came back and we were at the gas station filling up the car and some jerk is screaming at us, we are only as high above the situation as that person allows us to be if we address it. So the thing is, you either go on ahead and do what it is that you really need to do and let him spin out by himself, or the question that you're asking me is actually going to be never. The answer is never, unless you just let it, if you bite the bullet and refuse to play.
So basically you're saying that there's going to be more random text messages coming from him, even though I am not doing nothing.
Right. If he's going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it until he realizes that you're just not going to, you're not going to participate anymore. And the thing is, by natural course of things, I see you getting burnt out in the way that I'm talking about. But if you, but you might as well just do it now if you really want the change. But if you keep feeding it, you're going to keep getting the same stuff. It's like asking yourself, why do I keep having a yeast infection? If and I'm sorry if that makes you sick. And the thing is, you keep taking a bath in the same water.
Right.
You know, it's like that's your answer. You keep it keeps happening because you keep doing it. And this is an illness.
And I always thought to myself, okay, if this person was really done with me, and they, let's say they did get the message on Facebook, why didn't he just say, well, I'm deleting that message, who gives a random crap, and keep moving on with his life? No need to message me.
Right.
So, I
and
mean,
you
know,
but the thing is, you
does,
don't even have
he,
to say that. You don't even have to say that. You know, just don't feed it.
Right. I mean, I was just trying to figure out why he was sending these random texts.
Because he's trying to get your attention.
Okay.
Because he's trying to get your attention, and he's trying to pull you back into, if we can't get any sort of feedback from somebody, sometimes we would rather have negative feedback as opposed to what we're looking for, just because we want feedback, period.
So he thought by messaging me yesterday and saying, why am I getting these messages? He really didn't want to know that because he knew why he was getting them. He wanted a reaction from me.
Right. And the thing is, this is what you're supposed to be learning right now. And you can take this or leave it, but you're supposed to be learning that if you want to have a certain type of relationship, you don't feed the relationship you don't want to have. Period.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple.
So when he sends me another random text, can I just text him back and say, listen, if you're serious about fixing things, then you'll come over here and talk to me. If not, I'm not talking.
What do you think that's going to accomplish?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. So The only time that you really need to be talking to him is when he's actually either calling you on the phone to see when you'd like to go do something, or when he shows up to see when you'd like to do something, period.
So any other time, you ignore his text messages?
Yeah, period. Period. Anything you do on the contrary is just feeding the infection.
And then that will make him step up.
Because that's the only way he can talk to you, is to actually be normal, so to speak.
Okay. I got you.
Okay? All right. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. All right, and thanks for listening, dear.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a break. I want to hear something like peppy.
Marilyn Manson.
I want to hear something else.
Linkin Park.
I want to hear the different song.
Rondell's.
I'm going to listen to this.
You've got to know where you're heading. My name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
Hello, my name is Marissa from Power of You. Love, money, hope, security. Contact me for personalized spell packets. I'm a practitioner of Enlightened Down Home Conjure. Just email us at powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com. Again, powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
And we're back. You know what I think you have?
Welcome to Broken Earth. For Tourette's.
Yes, I was going
to
say that.
Well, no, I was trying to say it said 8 p.m. and I had to change it to 7 p.m. Oh, it's 7 p.m.
I think you have Tourette's.
I've just posted in the room, what? Mm-hmm. Chat room, a meditative relaxation that I did. A while ago, if anybody needs a bit of stress relief, relaxation, or something to help them get to sleep at night time, then you're more than welcome to check that out, and I hope it helps you out. We're going to be doing this, listening to this interview next, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to listen to the interview. When we get back, we do have some people in the queue. We'll be talking with Mary Lou. We'll be talking to there's somebody with a whole bunch of zeros, so that's probably a Skype caller, but we're going to be listening to our interview first. So everybody just kind of, you know, sit back, you know, grab your drink and enjoy yourself. These interviews are absolutely awesome. If you guys, the last show was the first part of it. And
what about Floating Green Man and all kinds of things?
Yeah, just, I mean, seriously, and this stuff is amazing. But anyhow, this Barris is just a month. What?
Yeah, I was just going to say. Calm down. I was just going to say, if it seems a bit slow in parts, because my dad's got ME, the Epstein-Barr virus, so it sometimes takes me a bit of while. So don't worry. Just get going. There was something else I was going to mention as well. Oh, if you hear a bird tweeting in the middle of it, it's just my phone going off. And one more thing. Oh, mention about limboing to the toilet. Here's that confusion where we were staying. There was like the toilet was there, but the roof was like slanted upwards, like above the toilet. So like if you sat on the toilet, your head would be hitting it. So if you imagine a bloke coming to stand to go for a whittle, you'd either have to hunch over or like limbo to the toilet.
Only tall people like you and your dad.
Yeah, my freakishly tall person.
You and your da. Okay. Do you think I have the Roseanne Barr virus?
The what?
The Roseanne Barr virus.
What's that?
Loud mouth and obnoxious.
I don't know. I don't really want to joke about that kind of thing.
Tell us about the experiences at Carter Street.
Carter Street was very interesting. If I think back, Card Street was the first place I'd ever been experienced anything physically. From spirit or whatever. I was actually standing in the hallway facing, we had the computer under the stairs, and something tugged the shirt on outside the trousers. It actually tugged the bottom of my shirt. And I thought no more of it. I thought it was just, the shirt's just sort of been caught up and just settled, you know, as sometimes your clothes do. And then one day, you were there at the computer.
That's right.
And you asked me to stop tugging your shirt.
Yeah, well, you were stood behind me and I was sat doing something on the computer and you were looking at what I was doing and I kept looking at you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Turning around. Because I thought you were pulling my jacket or shirt or whatever I had on.
Yeah.
And then I told you to stop it and you said, what? I said, pulling my shirt. And you weren't, obviously, so.
Yeah.
I can confirm that happened as well. Did anybody else experience?
I can't remember. You'd have to ask Heather and your mum. Somebody obviously trying to get our attention.
Yeah.
And then there was the fish, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Awful strong odour of fish. And we couldn't find out where it was coming from.
It seemed to move around, didn't it?
Yeah, it'd be in one room, and then another time it'd be in another room. And we'd put our head out the window, see if it was coming from outside, from the chip shop or anywhere, and it didn't seem to be. And even when the windows were closed, it would appear. And then, well, you'd say something like, I haven't smelt the fish for ages, and it would appear in the room.
Yeah, no, that's it. Smell. As soon as I started thinking about it, or as we talk about it, it was well, the other thing is as well, if I thought to myself, right, I'd say, well, I'll have a sort out of my room, and then I'd go, just the thought of sorting things out and moving things around, it used to appear then as well for some reason.
Yeah. And then it disappeared for ages. And then one day, your mum was going to the airing club, she opened the door and smelled the fish and you knocked her out.
That's right.
As if it had been hiding there.
Because it was if it, because sometimes it was in my room and then it seemed to work away across the landing.
To the bathroom.
Yeah, and then, yeah. And it was a strong smell, there's no,
yeah, no disguise.
And it wouldn't have been electrical. I know electrical smells
sometimes
smell like that, but it wouldn't have been that because...
No. We just couldn't explain it, so we just accepted it because it didn't cause any problems, did it?
Yeah.
It was never downstairs, though, was it?
No, I don't think it was. It was just upstairs.
Yeah. There's a couple of things happened downstairs. I can't remember all that well at the moment, but I know that we were all sitting there one day, and there's this great flash of light under the table, dining table.
Wasn't that Stratford Road?
No.
No, that was a different occasion. That was a different occasion, wasn't it? Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't see that. It was you and Heather that saw that, wasn't it?
Heather,
yeah, I didn't see that one.
And then there was another occasion where there was a light in there that moved, like an orb, but this was something like that, but I can't remember that. Not too well what happened.
So the other place where we lived was Stratford Road.
Mm.
Tell us about...
I forgot about one incident on Carter Street.
Yes.
That was another physical experience. We were sitting there watching the telly one evening. And... I can't think of any other explanation for it, but it felt like somebody had come and plucked at my right earlobe, like, you know, something affectionately.
Mm.
And it's not a place where you've got nerves or anything that could twitch or anything like that.
That's right.
And that was most unusual.
So at Carter Street, that would have been around about 2000, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
And that was happening.
Yeah.
So we moved to Stratford Road, it would have been about
2002.
too, yeah.
Didn't feel like there was anything there, anything negative, or but there was a few strange incidents. One that springs to mind immediately for me was something I saw that I've not seen before or since, but I've heard it related to recently. Was that a mist, like a bit like steam, that just appears and dissipates. I was looking out of the front window, the room window, and the path was to the right, which led directly to the front door from the gate. And there was this, what looked like a small cloud of steam, I'd say about 3 foot long, near enough 3 foot wide, sort of just floating up the path. I for life, I couldn't understand that. There was no cars, there was no, wasn't exhaust fumes. It didn't sort of come through the gate, it just sort of appeared on the path and then just, most odd, just like steam, it just sort of, then just sort of dissipated. I was working in the living room on the step ladder. Can't remember if I was painting the wall or whether I was hanging a picture. I think I was probably painting because I had overalls on. And I heard this sound like an electric shaver come from the left towards me and continue to the right. But it was this side of the wall in the room with me, it wasn't in the hallway. And I actually experienced it, the noise going through my head from one side to the other. And, you know, not all I can describe it as, it's like a, maybe a battery operated electric razor, just a high, like it's whizzing noise.
Was Heather experienced that as well, didn't she?
Yes, yes. And I thought you did as well, that it went through the wall to her room.
I can't remember now. I may have done, but...
Well, you told me you heard it in your room. They went through the wall. It disappeared into the wall. Heather's room was next door. And Heather said that she heard it come through the wall.
Right.
But after that, I've never heard it again.
Well, I know that Heather said, because where we used to, where our beds were, they were both leaning the headboards, we were both against the same wall, dividing
yes.
the rooms.
Yes.
And she came to my room one night saying that, asking me if I was making a noise or something scratching on the wall, but I was just sat there reading something with my headphones on.
Yeah.
And I know that there was one night when Heather wasn't there, she was out somewhere. And the best way I could describe it, which is a strange way to describe it, would it sound like a metal ball trying to burrow into the
I remember you told
skirting
you, yeah.
board or something.
Yeah.
Which was a strange
yeah.
sound, you know.
And what about people knocking on the wall outside your bedroom?
Yeah, that's right.
Upstairs.
Yeah. So I kept thinking it was you, didn't I?
Yeah.
But I used to go into the bedroom at night time to brush my teeth.
In the bedroom?
Sorry. it was a small house. Into the bathroom to brush my teeth. And they used to hear knocking on the door. And I say, I'll be out in a second, hold on. And then hear the knocking again. And then I come out and you'd be in the bedroom, wouldn't you? And I'd say, What?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know what I was talking about.
No.
This happened at a lot of occasions, and I kept saying, I'll be out in a minute, and...
Well, that one time in your bedroom, you pulled the door open with a vengeance and said, what?
Right, yeah.
And I was standing by the bathroom door.
Yeah.
You said, I've been hammering on your door, and I have.
Yeah. And it's strange that you didn't hear that.
Hammering on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Not knocking.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Because you were quite forceful in your manner, weren't you?
I was, yeah. What?
Very, very brave of you.
Yeah. This happened a lot, and then one time I was kind of starting to get used to it, and the one night where I ignored it, it was knocking on the door. I just ignored it, just went back to brush my teeth, and then it knocked on the outside wall of the house.
That's right.
And that unnerved me a little bit.
Yeah. Because you told me it moved its way around from one side.
Yeah, that's right, from the door all the way around to the outside wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I suppose, what I get for ignoring it, isn't it?
That's it.
But we thought that maybe the house wasn't necessarily haunted or anything, but we thought that maybe it was a passing through point for spirits.
I know I experienced other things, minor things there, nothing of note really, which made me think it was things passing through. Myself. Like on a ley line or something, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What about the. Oh, we'll talk about that in a moment. It's a different subject. Is there anything
else? There's the holidays that we've had together, the unusual experiences. I suppose the first one was.
Lynn Hillen,
yeah.
That was a strange place. Well, as soon as we walked into that place, we thought that something—it's just very odd.
Well, when we got there, didn't the people say sorry about the state of the garden? The gardener died about 2 weeks ago.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, it was the layout of the place was a bit strange. It was very old, and there was just floorboards between downstairs and upstairs. You could actually see through the cracks. First, I then shut it up. I can see you, Bill.
Yeah.
then you had to limbo to go to the toilet.
And
but it was something about the room that Heather chose. You walked into it. It looked like you expected to see a pulpit down the far end. You know, it looked like, I don't know. It had the whole feeling of a church.
I know what you mean, because when we first got there, me and Heather went upstairs to choose our rooms, and I said, you can have that one.
and she felt like there was something sitting on the chair watching us,
yeah.
So she used to pile all the clothes on top of it.
Yeah.
But, the thing that unnerved me most of all was when we'd been out for the day and we came back, and as soon as we arrived on the drive, there was this cloud of thousands upon thousands of flies.
House flies. Which you don't normally see in a group.
No. Absolutely, thousands of them. And we had to run into the house and shut the door as quick as possible. I've never seen anything like that.
It's strange, first of all, to see that many of them, but secondly, the way they were behaving, like they were trying to attack us.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Because they were chasing us, weren't they?
Yeah. That's right.
As if they were behaving like wasps or bees or something.
Well, actually coming at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was odd. And then you and me did a bit of metal detecting over the fields, and a tree suddenly decided to.
Yeah, there was only one tree in that field as well, wasn't there? Which was in the bottom corner. It was a little bit of a windy day, wasn't it? But it wasn't anything.
No, there was a crack, wasn't there?
Yeah.
A low crack.
As soon as we got to the corner, it nearly fell on us, didn't it? This tree.
Yeah, we were very lucky there. Because it wasn't a particularly big tree, but it would have caused some injury. Because there was a bit of weight in it.
It was about 20 foot.
Yeah, so, yeah, 15 to 20. It's hard to say when something's fallen down.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. By the time it was finished, it was about 5 foot tall, wasn't it?
Oh,
but there was that night, because you were staying downstairs in the downstairs bedroom, and you heard something.
Oh yeah, it was in the middle of the night. Well, I'm not sure if it was the middle of the night, actually. I think it was probably getting on towards midnight. I think I was half and half. And I heard you get out of bed, walk on the landing, come down the stairs, open the latch on the door at the bottom of the stairs, the old-fashioned latch, and then nothing.
You were waiting for me to appear, weren't you, into the bedroom or something downstairs?
Yeah, or go back upstairs or something. I thought he'd come down for a drink of water or something. And it was like holding your breath, waiting. And I fell asleep in the end.
Right.
And I asked you the next morning, what were you doing?
I hadn't been up.
No?
And I couldn't have been sleepwalking, because I would have still been stood there, wouldn't I? Because you would have heard me go back upstairs,
yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah, because it was the stairs. There's no proper partitions in the walls and stuff like that. It was like the stairs creaking right by your ear. I mean, there's no way you would sleep through that anyway.
Didn't, because Mum heard it as well, did she?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Mum heard it as well,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, and Heather came downstairs the following day. Saw your mum just go into the kitchen part. Mum, and she got there, and your mum wasn't there, she's down the bottom of the garden with you and me.
Yeah.
Feeding the horses or something. I know. What were we doing?
Yeah, there was horses down there, wasn't there?
Yeah. Or you were filming them or something.
Well, there was, of course, that night when me and you were sat downstairs and Heather was upstairs in bed. She had nearly eyes and she shouted, didn't she?
Yeah.
Or all borderline screamed.
Yeah.
And we ran upstairs to see if she was alright, didn't she?
Was somebody sat on the bed, was it?
No, she said something like she heard something running around the room or maybe the roof.
That's right, she heard something running around the roof.
Yeah.
It wasn't birds.
No. That's what I set up my video camera night vision, didn't I? And then you see...
An orb coming out of the middle of the bed and following out through the
door. Yeah, follow me throughout the room, yeah.
But the thing is, it was only when the door shut that came out of the bed.
Yeah.
And then followed you through the
door. And then kind of paused at the door as if...
It was opening.
It was opening, yeah. And then went through.
Yeah.
Well, it was... Because we all felt like we'd been drugged or something on that holiday, didn't we? We were all in a strange state of minds.
Yeah. Or maybe we just needed
to relax. Maybe it was the cider.
Yeah, but we did all feel sort of...
Like zombies.
Tranquilized.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd like to go back there again.
No, but in the guest book, people had been vague about what had gone on there, but they said that the haunted aspect of the building was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then I think there was one entry about other guests or other inhabitants, or, and it was just a vague reference to it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I think that was majority of the activity on that holiday, wasn't it?
I think there might have been a lot more if we hadn't all been so... I don't know, it was just our last holiday together. I didn't know if I was going to live much beyond that because I'd been diagnosed with cancer and Heather was going to leave home. And
yeah.
We were just enjoying each other's company, weren't we? And the log fire and the crumpets and...
Yeah.
Chopping the woods and stuff.
That probably would have been about 2004 or something, that would it?
Must have been, yeah.
Do you want to see? I put
Welcome back to Broken Earth Radio. That was a song off The Wicker Man, which reminds me of when I was... The first vinyl record I ever bought was when I was 15, and it was The Wicker Man by Iron Maiden. And it shows you how prices have increased these days, because I bought a picture disc, the Iron Maiden Wicker Man 12-inch picture disc of it, and it was £1.49 when I bought it.
Wow.
Crazy. Anyway, there we go. That was another part of the interview there, where we were talking about a place called Lynn Hillen, which was a 200-year-old cottage that we stayed in. Some strange things. I just want to clarify that field that we went in, there was only one tree in the field. And as soon as we walked down there with our metal detectors and got to the corner, the tree fell over. And nearly squashed us.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely
terrifying.
I mean, the tree had obviously been there for years and years and years. And for us to walk over to the only tree in acres of land to fall in our direction while we were there on a day where it wasn't really windy, what's all that about?
Well, maybe it was bowing to, maybe it was bowing to you, saying that it wasn't worthy or something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I had washed for a few days, so.
Maybe that was what it was. You know, the house that I grew up in, the trees started to fall. All the trees started to fall. And then my mother just decided that the land was sour and she had to move. So she sold the house, and the people actually just they just tore the whole place down. They tore the house down. They tore the guest house down. They tore the garage down. They ripped up the soil, and they put three houses up. So everything's gone. Everything's gone. But yeah, the land was pretty much it just
everything's,
you know,
gonna be sipped in. You know, a sinkhole and the like around the place. I mean, somebody died recently, and you know where your house was, it could have ended up being like at the end of Poltergeist or whatever that film was, where it all gets sucked into the ground. Anyway, there's more from that interview coming up, and I think what does it cover? It covers a bit more when we went on holiday to another place, and we talk about UFOs as well, I think. So that's still to come up, but that'll be next week. But of course, next week, next Tuesday, will be my birthday. Yay!
Happy birthday!
Because I'm that dedicated to doing this show, I should be doing it on my birthday as well. Not only that, I'll be doing ghost hunting again this Saturday, so I'll be sharing my ghost hunting experiences once again with you on the Tuesday night. This is a place called Penny Lane Hall. It's now this big mansion in the middle of nowhere near a place called Rouen, and the cellars and underground passages and all kinds of things going on. So
scary.
Yep. I'm still waiting for the DVD from the last one with all the tables tipping over and strange ghostly knockings from... That's really strange when you experience that, because, you know, I was sat there last time and there was something replying by knocking on the wall, and you see it on the TV and stuff like that, but once you're actually there in the moment, mm-hmm. and something keeps replying to you, it's really strange and slightly emotional, because it could be something from the other side
mm-hmm.
communicating with us. Until you're actually in that moment, it's such an unusual experience, and I'd love to see my reaction on the camera, on the night vision camera. Like, say what?
Well, I can't wait to hear all about it and get lots and lots of you know, pictures and I hope it's very, very lively and active in the atmosphere that night. But let's take a call. Call, and we're going to try to, you know, get this call, and then we have some more people. We'll try to get 724 after that. But Mary Lou, it's Bill and Nunu. How are you?
Hi, Bill and Nunu. I'm fine.
Good. Well, share with us what's going on with you, or just what's on your mind today.
What's the word on the street?
On the screen.
Well, if I was going to ask a question, I was going to ask about my love life.
Okay.
I don't need to fill you in.
Okay,
you either see it or you don't.
Yeah, hold on just a moment. Let's see what's going on. All right. Okay. Okay. We've got blood. We've got a heartbeat.
I'm
being sarcastic. You're alive. Okay, this is the deal. The only thing that's a little bit, how sometimes we get kind of frustrated when we're looking at stuff. I've got an individual here, and it looks like you guys are doing this thing, this dance. Right now, it kind of looks like you guys are, you know, sitting down from the dance, and then, you know, soon there will be the dance again. But it's frustrating because it looks like it's back and forth and back and forth.
What's up with that? How can you stop it? Or go or take it somewhere.
That, you know, the thing that's kind of frustrating is that there's respect. I see there is respect. So it's not like you're dealing with somebody who is trying to make things difficult for you. There's a mutual respect. However, you keep slipping into this high priestess position when we really want you to stay in the position of being the object of affection. Do you guys work together too, ever, like on projects or?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's, I'm going to tell you this. I want to jump ahead. I want to get away from just like the next encounter, because when I jump to the one after that, and even it looks like there's a little bit of a pullback, and then there's, and then he returns. This right here is where I see some longevity. And not only is there longevity in the time that you guys are together, there also looks like there's some extremely positive financial stuff happening for you at that time too. I mean, really good financial stuff. So to develop a timeline with you, I'm going to ask you a question. The last time that you guys spent time together, was that in the month of January, or was it further back?
It was last Monday.
It was last month. We're
and
just talking
that,
about.
It was like before January.
Okay. So you know what's actually even better? It, since when I go backwards, I go backwards two steps and then some days. So it kind of looks like it was, you said it was last Monday. It kind of looks like it was last Wednesday. So I'm off a couple of days, okay? What we're actually seeing is that things are going to be happening a lot faster than we thought. So basically, we just need to get you up to tomorrow or the next day. And then there's a pullback. Then there's a return a little while later, like maybe a week or two later. And then it says in 2.5 moons, and because we're actually just dealing with days and weeks, that basically means 5 weeks later, that's where we start to really see things prospering with you, period. So basically what I predict for this situation is that in about 3, 8, a month and a half, you should be pretty much solid with each other. So we'll see how that works, okay?
Okay.
And that's also, remember, that's also where you're going to start seeing some financial flow that's good, okay?
I have no idea where that's going to come from.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because it's like there's some projects that it looks like you've got, and that point is where it looks like the dam opens or it starts to break. So,
okay. Is
all
there
right?
Anything I can do to make this smoother? Because it's so weird. Isn't this weird? Don't you find this weird? Doesn't it feel weird to you?
Let me tell you this. I know that if we were like 18 or 19, it would be weird, you know? But the older we get, the further we move along, other things take precedent over our personal lives, or sometimes they do. Not everybody. But I think it's going to be okay. I do think it's going to be okay. I do. But I do know what you mean, because it's like, you know, why not just grab a hold of the person that you just care about and just, you know, just suck it up and be happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, it's just like when we have lists of other things, lists of priorities, other obligations, family, friends, not even friends, but just family, kids, jobs, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it does become difficult to combine lives. And that's kind of what it seems like the issue is with you guys, is just really combining your lives with each other. However, it really does look like it's going to start getting easier, and it's going to be a lot faster, a whole lot faster than I thought, just because we're only dealing with, you know, the time frame we're only talking about is weeks. So.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I got to tell you, I didn't give you any information. I just threw out a word, and you pick up really well. Really, really well. It's impressive.
Thank you very much about
she
that, Gary.
Yeah. Did you train or you just worked on yourself?
I've been I've been reading since I was a little girl. So I didn't always have encouragement, but I just have a problem with, or I used to, kind of like just being a little blunt. And so over time, that was my training, being blunt, just saying what I thought, you know. I would get in a lot of trouble.
Being blunt.
I got in a lot of trouble as a kid. I got into tons of trouble because my parents were just like, what about discretion? You know what I mean? But I didn't have that filter. And then when I got older, of course, that filter becomes, you put that filter on, but then when you're starting to become more empathic, it becomes paranoia, you know, because you think that people are looking and talking about you, but it's actually just you absorbing the energy that they have around them anyway. And so, but yeah, I didn't have like you know how some people they sit down and they go to school and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't have that. I didn't have that, but, you know.
Well, if your guides trained you, they did a darn good job.
Thank you very much for that. Really, thank you very much for that.
Because as a reader myself, I don't go deep. I don't have confidence. And it's hard to stick it out there knowing that you could be wrong. I mean, that's
right.
That's tough to do. So,
yeah.
You're really going out there, and it's pretty accurate. I mean, I don't know about the future, but as the present moment, you absolutely nailed it. As if you'd had to just listen to an hour of, you know, hearing a girl whine about what's going on in their life.
She's had a lot of practice.
And let's say nobody wants to hear that.
Bill gets frustrated, you know, he does get frustrated with, you know, staying enthralled with personal things. But so it's one of those things where I'll do that. And then he does the other side of that. So, but I do understand, I mean, you know, I mean, a lot of people can get annoyed with people's issues, but I know that,
I don't mind telling somebody their issues if they're coming to me. I don't want to sit here and listen to you tell me all your issues and then at the end of the sentence say, but does he love me? Because at that point, I don't know anything. I just had to listen to a couple hours of your personal stuff, you know?
Well, one of the things I want that I do like to when I'm really trying to, you know, really dive into how someone feels about another person, honestly – sometimes people really do think they love the people that they torture. The thing is, though, love is we just have to remember that love is not a feeling. Love is what we do. So we can, if we stick to real definitions, if a man deeply cares for a woman, but he doesn't want to make her happy, that means that he stopped. Something has stopped. Something has stopped, but he does feel, he does care. He deeply cares, but, you know, he can't save her because he can't save himself or just whatever, because remember, it has to be fine-tuned to the situation. But I do know what you mean when somebody says, does he love me? And for all intents and purposes, we know what that question means. But if we sit down and we talk to each other about what do words truly mean, we can actually talk about how, when this is happening, you see how the emotions or the relationship has progressed.
Right.
So if I say I love cupcakes, I love puppies, I love, you know, my cell phone. I love my kids. I love, you know, if I say I love everything, then the word means absolutely zero. And that I think that's one of the ways that we can kind of help each other really define what's happening, as opposed to just putting a blanket word on it and it meaning zero. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe that's something that will help people. Because that's what I tell them.
I'm thinking the real value comes when you do what you just did for me, which is validate what I didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I don't have to tell. If I have to tell somebody this story, then they're not reading me. So
right.
I feel very validated and honored that you actually connected with that and told me what I didn't tell you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. Yes, it does.
So I really appreciate that quality, and good job.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you.
All right.
And thanks for hanging on to the phone, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, dear. Talk to you
Bye.
Soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Billy, we have about 10 minutes. And we have all these callers, so let's take one more call, and we got to keep that call like at 3 minutes, okay? So 724, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hi, it's good to talk to you guys today.
Hey.
Hi, my name's Missy, and I was just calling to ask you what you see for my love life.
Okay. Hold on just a moment, dear. Now, remember, we have very limited time, okay? So
okay.
So let me just see what's going on with you real quickly. Let's see. All right. Oh boy, Missy, I do you have this is a real tough one here, because it looks like there is a triangular thing going on. Is that what's going on with you right now?
yes. I mean, not that I'm in any kind of relationship, but yes, you could say that.
Okay. Okay. Well, basically, you know, in the limited amount of time we have, I'm going to tell you this. As far as this particular situation goes, I do see that it's something that currently we need to let go of. We need to let go of it right now. And then there's a period of time here where after there is a return, okay? And in that period of time, it still kind of seems like it's more of the same. However, there's finally hold on just a moment. Let me think about this.
Okay.
Because you guys really do seem to really care about each other, but it's like you're wanting different things. And
can I ask you something real quick? I'm wanting to know, because you're saying triangle, what I want to just tell you is my ex-husband still wants a relationship with me. I don't want a relationship with him, but there is somebody, a romantic interest that I have.
Right.
I'm wondering if these are the two people you're talking about, and who are you talking about?
See, what I think, this has to be what's going on, because, like I said, it's like this person keeps coming around, but it's like you guys want different things. So if that's got to be your ex-husband that keeps knocking at the door and coming back, and then he breaks off and then comes back, and he's like, you're trying to be cool, or you guys are both trying to be cool with each other, but you're just not wanting the same exact things. So, but that keeps happening. It keeps happening. However, I know that you said that you have this interest in this other person. And so I'm sorry?
The interest in the other person is also a long-time person from high school.
Yeah. I want to ask you this real quickly. Is he by chance, I'm going to give you two different descriptions. Is he dark skin? I'm sorry, dark hair and fair skin, or does he by chance have a job where he's very professional or in a uniform?
Which
I know
one
that is? Sounds so vague. I'm talking about the long-term buddy. He's none of that.
Actually, no. Actually, both of them are like the same color. One's shorter, one's taller. One works as a service writer, and one is in the ex-husband is a service writer in a uniform. But then the interest that I have, I'm not exactly 100% sure what he does right now. I know he is professional.
Okay.
I do know he's professional.
Okay. Well, there is going to be progress. I'm just going to put it this way, because like I said, we've got to close the show out properly. There is finally progress with someone, but it looks like it is. I'm trying to give you a time frame, and everything looks like it's all piled up on top of each other. You know, like everything's all happening at the same time. But there is progress, and it says that there is a physical return, and then there's another return. So basically it looks like, oh, gosh, this is just a mess. I think
is this something?
Basically, I kind of feel like you're going to get a visit. I'm just going to put the cards back down. What I'm seeing is I do actually see you receiving a visit from somebody that looks like it's going to be about 2 days long. And I'm believing it's going to be probably just in about a month, okay? But remember,
okay,
the ex is going to constantly be doing this. He's going to be constantly coming and going and coming and going because I don't see him stopping. And then in the middle of all this, there is this person here where it looks like there's a little bit of progress. However, you still need to be careful of even that, because the theme of your whole reading is making sure of what you really, really want and making that you got the discipline and the structure for it. Okay, that's the theme of what you really want. But, you know, give us a call back next week this time, or if you really want a reading that can actually, you know, help you, because these readings here are just for sample, you know, look us up at Broken Earth on Facebook, Broken Earth Radio Show on Facebook. We also have a link in the chat room posted, and it's also on the banner page too, so that you can actually get a real reading. And because of the full moon, we have a $30 discount too for regular reading. So please, Missy, let us know how you're doing real soon, okay? And we can really get down to it. We'll get down to it, okay?
I will be keeping
in
touch.
Thanks so much for listening. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye. Did you just throw up on the show again?
No, I said bye. My accent.
That is my accent, not yours. But sometimes you do slip into it.
If anybody wants to get in contact with us, get on the Broken Earth Facebook page, go on our website, contact us there. If you want to get in contact with me for some special time, that's Bill Doyle, that's D-O-Y-L-E, at live.com, or Bravo Indigo Lima Lima, Delta Oscar Yankee Lima.
Okay, stop.
I'm halfway through now. I could have finished it up. Live.com. Well, if you need any healing, any physical healing, distance healing, you know, get in contact with me and see what I can do. The next week's show, we're going to be talking about ghost hunting, my findings on the ghost hunt. I'm sure there'll be interesting things, probably even more than last time. Hopefully, I won't be so critical of the experiences and I won't be so logical and scientific about it, which I wasn't expecting, really. But I'm sure there's going to be interesting things going on. And, and I'll probably have some more of the interview with Colin Doyle as well, which we talk more subjects of paranormal and the subject of UFOs, and there's a conclusion of my dad's final statements for life, a bit of advice that might help people from his experiences, so that'll be coming up. But like I said, you can also check out the Psychic Nunu channel on YouTube for the meditative relaxation I've done. Please go and listen to it. It should help you. It even helps me sleep. It's my own voice. Not saying I'm boring, but it helps me. You are there? You had a bit of a cough there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just drinking.
Or so you're sleeping. Check that out. Also, check out Square Chicks Hair Sticks.
Yay!
Some awesome hair sticks and stuff. Check that out. But running out of time. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next Tuesday, the 2nd of April, for my birthday show. But thanks to the callers and everybody who's listened. And
we'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Bye. Wave.
Bye.
Take my love. Take my land. Take me where I cannot stand. I don't care. I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.